Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We are so excited to have you with us today, as we are every Tuesday from 7 to 8:30-ish, and we're glad to have you since it's the holiday season. We have been talking about the signs and the times, the book of signs by Dr. Jeremiah. But we put all that on a hiatus as this is the season for the reason. Amen. We are here to talk about the greatest love of God. And God's love is the greatest gift. So as you join us tonight and until the holiday season is over, the end of December, we will have a sermon regarding the season. So if you would join us in prayer, we always start off with devotion. So we'll have a scripture, we'll have prayer, we'll have a song, and we'll have scripture. And then we'll have a sermon. Most holy and righteous God, we come before you tonight, and we are celebrating because, Lord, you took care of us through the day. You watched over us, and you are with us tonight. You lead, God, and direct our paths, O Lord. You have protected us in the midst of all that has happened. No weapon formed against us prospered today because you had your hand over us. We are so thankful. And so we come before you as the 24 elders around the throne saying, holy, 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 Lord, thou God Almighty. And we praise you because you are truly the leader of heaven's army, and we thank you for watching over us and teaching us, Lord, as we come before you. We have put on our armor. We have girded our feet with peace. We have on the belt of truth. We have on the breastplate of righteousness. We are picking up the sword of the Spirit, and we have the shield of faith, and we've donned the helmet of salvation. Hallelujah, Lord, we are ready, and so we are bathing all of this in prayer. Lord, no weapon formed against us has prospered because we trusted and walked in you. We thank you tonight. And as we go forward, we just ask that the word might touch someone's heart tonight, that someone might be saved. Someone might have their heart adjusted so that they can truly know the real reason for the season. We ask these blessings now in the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So we're not going to have a song. And as we listen to the song by Yolanda Allen.
I know.
Go ahead. So now I'll read the scripture of John 3:16. And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, John 3:16 through 3:18. John 3:16 through 18. So we're going to be reading from the New Living Translation, John 3:16 through 18, New Living Translation. And it reads, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good." Amen. "Giving honor to God, who is the love of my life, and to my sisters and brothers in Christ." Good morning. Good evening. Oh, I guess some of you might be waking up around this time. But love is one of the Advent themes of the season. We have just a few days until we will celebrate the long-ago birth of the Christ child and eagerly await our Lord's second coming. So I want to say to everyone now, Merry Christmas, Feliz Navidad, Joya Noel. Bow your heads with me in prayer. Lord, we thank you now for allowing your humble servant to approach the throne of grace. Draw us closer to you today. Purify our hearts. Bring our thoughts and actions in line with your word so that we may be in sync with the intercessions being made in heaven. For no one can preach, Lord, unless you first speak. Nobody can do anything unless you first move. And if you don't send the anointing, there will be no power in what is said and done. Come on, Pastor Frank. Lord, take this word in service so that everyone under the sound of my voice might have ample portions to sup and receive the blessings of a transformed love relationship with you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen and amen. Now, we all have ideas of what it would be like to have the greatest gift ever. So how do you measure a gift's value? How do you judge its worth? By its size? By its weight? By its cost? By its usefulness? Or by the sacrifice it took to obtain it? Today, I would like for us to examine God's gift to us. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. See, God sent his Son into the world not to judge or condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Today's sermon title, God's Love is the Greatest Gift. God's love is the greatest gift. Now, the entire reason for Christmas, y'all, is the love of God. God loved us so much that God came down from heaven to earth as a baby. This baby had a heavenly preexistence. This baby was the creator of the universe. This baby was the Son of God. This baby was the Savior for all of humanity. See, God came to the world so that we could get to know God and learn to trust God and love God back. You see, we celebrate Christmas because it marks the time of the incarnation, the time when God became one of us, a human being, so we could understand what God is really like. The Bible says that God is love. It doesn't say God has love, but that God is love, and that was and is God's gift to us during Christmas time and every day of the year. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son. Christ is the gift given. God offers the gift. Amen. God sent God's Son as an ordinary baby. God had come to earth, and incredibly, only a few shepherds tiptoed in to welcome the king. Maybe everyone else expected a more regal fanfare, was too busy to notice. Maybe they were at a basketball game or watching the Game of Thrones on TV, resting from work or just at home chilling with their families. Maybe, as John writes, they really did not want God to come near. According to John 1, 10 through 11, he was in the world and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. Verse 11 literally says, y'all, he came to his own things, came to his own creation, but his own ones did not receive him. His own people, like the innkeeper, people like you and me, turned him away. The world is still shutting the door to him. We can have a play, and the children can act out the Christmas story on stage. We can purchase electric nativity scenes to display on our front lawns. We can sing the carols and light the candles, but do we know him? Do we know him? Is Christ our Savior? Have we received this offered gift? According to John 1, 12 through 13, to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. This is the most important message of the gospel. God offers the gift. The gift is Jesus Christ. God became man. Divinity arrived. Heaven opened herself and placed her most precious one in a human womb to manifest God's agapeo, God's agape love, the highest form of love there is. God shows us that God's love is like that of the Energizer Bunny, and that it keeps on giving and giving and giving and giving and giving and giving. God acted selflessly and purposefully and sent God's Son to do good for God's creation, because God loves us. Sending Christ was God's deliberate act of love to give us the choice to be freed from the death grip of sin. Christ came as a gift so that in him we might pass from bondage to freedom, from death to life. God is not going to force us to believe. God's not going to force us to love and accept him. God loves us too much for that. So God gives us a choice. However, all who believe in him will accept the gift. You see, that's how God loved the world. He gave. What did God give? God's only born Son. So all who believe can do what? Accept the gift. Why is it the greatest gift? Because one, God offers the gift. We can accept the gift and receive salvation. Two, the gift provides eternal life. You see, one of the most important things about accepting the gift is understanding that it truly is a gift that's been paid for. You don't work for a gift. It's free. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. Jesus Christ already took care of it. He paid for your gift on the cross. And it's now a free gift to you. Hallelujah. And that's why when he was hanging on the cross, he said, it is finished. He didn't say, I am finished. No, 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 no. Because he wasn't. He's still alive today. The it is your salvation. The plan to provide grace for every person is finished. Romans 3:24 says, the free gift of God's grace makes all of us right with him. Christ Jesus paid the price to set us free. You see, salvation is a gift received only by believing God for it. However, it's important to know that belief consists of accepting something, not doing something. It's good to serve the poor and help the homeless. It's good to feed the hungry and clothe the naked. But without accepting Christ's love and being in relationship with him, those things are just good deeds. The result of belief is that one receives eternal life. He or she is freed from condemnation and lives in a relationship of total honesty and surrender to God. Eternal life is the reward. The new life God gives refers not solely to the duration of existence, but also to the quality of life. See, eternity is time spent with God in a deepening and growing experience that can never be exhausted in any measurable span of time, but introduces a totally new quality of life. See, the believer becomes imperishable. One is free from all condemnation and is approved, hallelujah, by God. Huh. On the one hand, one can choose to perish. Now, this depicts the opposite of salvation. It operates in death as opposed to life, or loss as opposed to win or gain. Those without God are hopelessly confused in purpose, alienated from him in their affections, and are eternally separated from God. You see, the presentation of the good news of God's love offers only two options, y'all, to believe or to perish. Eternal life, which is accepted by believing, is a gift of God and brings with it the fullest blessing God can bestow. To perish does not mean to cease to exist. Oh, no. It means to experience utter failure. It means to experience futility and loss of all that makes existence worthwhile. And because God's attitude is one of love that never gives up, hallelujah, God sent his only born son to draw humanity unto him. If one is lost, come on, somebody, it is a choice not to commit oneself to God, the only source of life. For you see, the difference between the believer and unbeliever is not in the guilt or innocence of either. It lies simply in the attitude one takes towards receiving the gift. The unbeliever rejects the gift. The believer accepts the gift and chooses eternal life. Now, that assurance is found in Revelation 21:3, referring to the New Jerusalem. It says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling of God is with humanity, and God will take up residence with them, and they will be God's people, and God, God's self, will be with them." Accept the gift and choose eternal life. Oh, I'm talking to somebody tonight. I know you can hear me. Oh, Holy Spirit, touch their heart. Accept the gift and choose eternal life. You see, God gives the greatest gift because, one, God offers the gift. Oh, yes. And secondly, the gift provides eternal life. And thirdly, the world will be saved through him. You see, the world has received an opportunity to experience Christ's love. Oh, he has shown his love for you, and there is nothing you can do that will make God stop loving you. You could try, but you will fail. Because God's love for you is based on God's character, not on your conduct. It's based on who God is, not on what you've done. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:9, the new NCV version, Christ's love is greater than anyone can ever know. But I pray that you will be able to know that love. Then you can be filled with the fullness of God. But you know, I'm not sure you really understand what I'm saying. I'm not sure you get the power of God's love. Let me try one more illustration and tell you one story. There was a father and a son who were collectors of valuable art, priceless works by Picasso, Van Gogh, Monet, adorned the walls of their family estate. The widow, elderly man, looked on with satisfaction as his only child became an experienced art collector and strong businessman. As winter approached, war engulfed the nation, and the young man left to serve his country. After only a few short weeks, his father received a telegram that the young man had died while getting a fellow soldier to a medic. Distraught and lonely, the old man faced the upcoming Christmas holiday with anguish and sadness. You see, early on Christmas morning, a knock on the door awakened the depressed old man. And as he opened the door, he was greeted by a soldier with a large package in his hand saying, "I was a friend of your son and the one he was rescuing when he was killed. May I come in for a few moments? I have something to show you." "I'm an artist," said the soldier, "and I want to give you this." It was a portrait of striking detail of the man's son. Overcome with emotion, the man thanked the soldier, promising to hang the picture above the fireplace. During the days and weeks that followed, the man learned that his son had rescued dozens of wounded soldiers before a bullet stilled his caring heart. Fatherly pride and satisfaction began to ease his grief. The painting of his son soon became his most prized possession. He told his neighbors it was the greatest gift he'd ever received. The following spring, the old man became ill and passed away. The art world was in anticipation and unmindful of the story of the man's only son, but in his honor, those paintings would be sold at an auction. According to the will of the old man, all of the artworks would be auctioned on Christmas Day, the day he had received his greatest gift. The day soon arrived. Art collectors from around the world gathered to bid on some of the world's most spectacular paintings. Dreams would be fulfilled this day. Greatness would be achieved as many would claim, "I have the greatest collection." The auction began with a painting that was not on any museum's list. It was the painting of the man's son. The auctioneer asked for an opening bid. The room was silent. "Who will open the bidding with $100? He asked. Minutes passed, and no one spoke. From the back of the room came, "Who cares about that painting? It's just a picture of his son. Let's forget it and go on to the good stuff." More voices echoed in agreement. "No, we have to sell this one first," replied the auctioneer. "Now who will take the son?" Finally, a friend of the old man spoke. "Will you take $10 for the painting? That's all I have. I knew the boy, so I'd like to have it. I have $10. "Will anyone go higher?" called the auctioneer. After more silence, the auctioneer said, "Going once, going twice, gone." the gavel fell. Cheers filled the room, and someone exclaimed, "Now we can get on with it, and we can bid on these treasures." The auctioneer looked at the audience and announced, "The auction was over." Stunned disbelief quieted the room. Someone spoke up and asked, "What do you mean it's over? We didn't come here for a picture of some old guy's son. What about all these paintings? There are millions of dollars of art here. I demand that you explain what's going on here." The auctioneer replied, "It's very simple. According to the will of the Father, whoever takes the Son gets it all. It's the same with you and I today." The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So as we go forth into the holiday season, we've got to remember God's love is the greatest gift of all. God's love is the greatest gift. God offers the gift. The gift provides eternal life. And the world will be saved through him. There is anyone at this time who, after hearing about God's love, would like to open your heart and let Jesus come in and be ruler, Lord, over your life, that you would like to give into him because he first loved you, then I ask at this time that you would repeat after me, "Lord, I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that the Lord Jesus died and rose again for me. And because of that, I believe and I want to be God's son, God's child, and have eternal life to live with him." If you said that prayer, hallelujah, you are a child of the Lord. All you have to do is get involved in a Bible-believing church, become baptized, and walk in faith. Let the Lord lead, guide, and direct you, and continue joining us here at Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. God is waiting on you. Arms open wide, like the Energizer Bunny, loving today, forever, and ever, and ever, and ever, and ever, and ever. God's love is the greatest gift. Amen. We'll close tonight with Brett, who's on the line. And Brett, if you will close this, I would very much appreciate it. Brett, if you're on the line, feel free to close this. Amen. Well, thank you again for joining Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. And we look forward to asking you to, if there's something that you heard in the sermon tonight that appeals to you, you have any questions about what you need to do to accept Christ as your Savior and you want to talk, please feel free to join us and call. The guest line is 646-478-4932. Join us next week and bring someone with you. Always remember, we are here at your place of love, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We'd love to see you and hear from you next week. God's blessings be with you. Enjoy the season.